Good evening, everyone. I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to a spectacular night here at the Griffith Observatory in Los Angeles. Tonight, you have a front row seat to a very special one-night-only concert with Adele. She's singing all the songs I know you want to hear, and new songs we've all been waiting 6 years for. And throughout the night, you'll see my conversation with Adele. It was so much fun. She's as real, as down-to-earth as we all believe she is. But right now, it is my great delight to introduce the 15-time Grammy-winning icon, Adele. Hello,
it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how we felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. it also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
This is so good.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
No, hi. We can't even say hello anymore.
Yeah, I don't really say hello anymore, that's fine.
You don't?
Not really, because it's like a joke. So.
Okay, well, hi, Adele.
Hiya.
Hiya. Welcome to my rose garden.
It's lovely. It's beautiful.
Well, thank you for coming to join me
here. It feels very British.
It does it?
Yes.
Well, actually, because, yes, and because my tea house is here.
Yes.
Everybody, we just met. Mm-hmm. And the concert tonight is a celebration of your biggest hits and the debut of the new songs from 30. And you start with Hello.
Yes. Well, I think I'm always going to have to start with Hello. It'd be a bit weird if it's like halfway through a set. Yeah. You know? So, yeah, I'm starting with it.
Okay. So that music video has been viewed nearly 3 billion times.
3 billion? I didn't know that.
3 billion times.
Billion? That's insane. Yeah.
That song means so much to people all around the world.
It does, yeah.
So what does it represent to you?
Well, the show is the first time that I'm singing it from where I am now.
Yes.
Which I think is great. The song, to me, was the beginning of me trying to find myself, and I haven't figured out yet what it was that I had to do for that. But when I wrote it, it was a real ode to, like, little me, older me, like, all of these things, like, you know, so... It's just a song about, like, I'm still here. You know, it's sort of like, hi, I'm still here. Like, I still exist, like, you know, in every aspect of my life.
Well, it feels like that on 30, you have literally opened up your soul in a way that even though we have heard your pain before, it feels like pain was almost like a muse for you for this. I read something you said. You said, I was singing things I didn't even realize I was feeling or thinking. Mm-hmm. So is that how the music comes to you? Is that a part of your process? Is the music as catharsis?
Yeah, it definitely channels from somewhere else, you know, when I'm singing and when I'm writing. Like, and I was kind of aware of that on the other albums, but this one, you know, a lot more I felt it because everything was happening in real time. I was writing my album, you know, while I was going through everything. Mm-hmm. But I don't think as a person I have what my singing has.
Like, what do you mean?
I just think there's something that I'm pulling from somewhere else. I don't know if something else from underneath. I don't know what it is coming up through me, but it's not. I don't know how I access it. It's wild because I don't think I'm that deep in real life. So it's.
But then you listen to the music and you think deep,
yeah,
right?
You know, or I'll just be like, I am making progress, or like, just it's a revelation to me, the songs.
Well, I read something that you said. You said, I'm not shy or embarrassed to be falling apart. That's one of the reasons why you feel people are so connected to your music. And I wondered, what gives you the freedom, actually, and the courage to be able to fall apart and expose yourself in a world and a culture now that is a gotcha culture?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you make the wrong move, you say the wrong thing, somebody's got some, you know, wisecrack about it.
I think the reason I'm so brave to do it, you know, in my career so far, was because, again, music helped me in any situations, and I would like to do, you know, the same for people that feel so alone when they're feeling something, mm-hmm. to be reminded that they're not alone. And in terms of now, you know, there were moments when I was writing the record or I would listen back to something and be like, that might be a bit too private, that might be a bit too, you know, too about myself and stuff to put out. But nothing is as scary as what I've been through over the last 2-3 years behind closed doors. So I'm not frightened about what people may or might not do now, you know?
Hey, guys. How posh is this? Also, get you, Lizzo. You can come and outshine me, babes. I love that. I love that poncho coat. Oh, yeah, nice. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Welcome to One Night Only with me, although most of you I know, and you have too many nights with me, really. But I wanted to feel safe in my first little comeback thing. Hang on, I've got dry mouth. So I wanted to do a mixture of people that I know and love, people that I've met a few times, and some of you I don't know at all, but hi. And I'm going to do some old ones for you. I'm going to do some new ones for you. So I haven't sung this. This is a new song. I haven't sung this song yet for anyone. Not in real life. Myself. Not gonna lie. So I could do real, if any of you know it. This is easy on me.
To feel what
choose what I chose to do. So go easy on me. This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end. I've drowned and dreamed this moment. So overdue, I owe the hand. Swept away, I'm stolen. At the sky fall, when he crumbles, we will stand tall.
you lost 100 pounds in 2 years, and then you said it wasn't even really about the weight. So what was it about? So here's the thing. You write about it in song after song. You start with, you know, Easy on Me that's been released. Can you just give us an idea of what happened with this all-consuming, it feels like an all-consuming pain. And I'm like, what the hell happened?
I've been obsessed with a nuclear family my whole life because I never came from one. You know, so in all these movies and all these books, like, you know, when you grow up reading them, like, that's what it should be.
Right.
Like, you know, and I just, from a very young age, just, you know, promised myself that when I had kids that we'd stay together. We would be that united family. And I tried for a really, really long time. And then I was just so disappointed for my son. I was so disappointed for myself. And I was just, I thought I was gonna be the one that, you know, stopped doing those bloody patterns all the time.
So do you call this, is this the divorce album?
I think I'm divorcing myself on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does one do that?
So it's lonely, you know. I spent a lot of time on my own, really sitting in my feelings and not keeping myself busy. I used to always, if a feeling came up, I'd distract myself or I'd call a friend and be like, oh, do you want to go out? What do you want to do? Like, put a movie on, whatever. I would just sit with it.
I would just eat it myself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I would just, whenever I noticed how I was feeling, I would sit down and I'd sit in it. I stopped drinking. That's one great way of really sort of getting to know yourself is being, you know, just drinking water and being sober as anything.
But you've had a fascinating relationship with alcohol. I read where you said that alcohol really fascinated you.
Yeah, yeah, very much. Yeah, because it took my dad from me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you stopped?
Well, when I was going through everything a couple of years ago, when I was going through my divorce, yes. Not at the beginning, at first, I think I probably kept the alcohol industry alive. But, you know, once I realised that I had a lot of work to do on myself, yeah, I stopped drinking and I started working out lots and stuff like that to keep me sort of centered.
Was there a moment when you knew, or was it a series of things that you said, can't do this anymore?
With my journey or
With the divorce from Simon. Like, because I, you know, over the years I've interviewed so many people who stayed, were miserable, and years before they actually made the move.
Yeah.
Had started thinking about it. So I'm wondering, was there a single moment or was...
I do remember one of my friends, we were answering these questions in this very bougie magazine. Mm-hmm. And it was something like, what's something that no one would ever know about you? And I just said it in front of three of my friends. I was like, I'm really not happy. I'm not living. I'm just plodding along. And I remember there was a lyric that I wrote that I put on a song on 25, which was, I want to live and not just survive. Mm-hmm. And I definitely felt like that. But it was when I admitted to my own friends who thought I was really happy, that actually I'm really unhappy. And they all gasped, like, you know, I feel like it was sort of from there that I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing it for? You know, but I think it was just by us getting married, us having our wedding, and I take marriage very seriously. Like, it obviously
seems like you have all of that stuff from the past.
And it seems like I don't, you know, now. Like, you know, almost like I disrespected it by getting married and then, you know, divorce so quickly and stuff like that. But I think...
Are you embarrassed because it was so quickly?
I'm just embarrassed that I didn't make my marriage work.
Okay.
You know?
So now that you have perspective and you've opened up your soul and shared it with the world here on 30, why do you think... is the real reason Simon came into your life?
I think Simon probably saved my life, to be honest with you. He came at such a moment, whereas the stability that him and Angelo have given me, no one else would ever have been able to give me. Like, especially at that time in my life, I was so young. And I think I would have got a bit lost in all of it. Like, you know, and I think I could have easily gone down some dodgy paths, like, you know, and sort of self-destructed from sort of like being so overwhelmed by all of it. And he came in and was stable, the most stable person I've ever had in my life up until that point. Even now I trust him with my life.
Really?
Oh my gosh, like beyond. Like, yeah, I feel like, yeah, him and Angelo, like, they were angels sent to me. That's how I feel.
So came into your life at the right season and for the right reasons to save
absolutely.
You.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
And in that moment when Angelo said to you, why don't you love daddy anymore?
Mm. Yeah, that was really hard as well. And trying to explain to like a 6-year-old at the time, obviously, that I do love him. I'm just not in love with him. Makes absolutely no sense to a 6-year-old. Like, you know, so there were so many answers I just couldn't give him because there aren't any, really, like, you know, that he would understand. But he sees that I still love his dad.
Like, because you know, live across the street from each other.
We live across the street from each other. Like, we, like, we're away together sometimes, like, you know. And, mm-hmm. And yeah, like, me and Simon also chat away without Angelo. Like, mm-hmm. Angelo, you know, could be at school. And
so you're still friendly?
Oh, yes.
It's all
100%.
Amicable. 100%.
Yeah, yeah, I respect him more than anyone.
How does he feel about this album and the story of the two of you coming through your music?
I mean, we don't sit around and talk about it. Yeah. Like, how are you feeling? Like, you know, easy on me, is that 40 million streams? How are you feeling? Like, we don't talk about it. But he knows I'm, you know, he knows what kind of artist I am. Like, and, you know, that I have to dig deep and tell my stories.
How can one become so bounded by choices that somebody else made? How come we've both become a version of a person we don't even like? We're in love with the world, but the world just wants to bring us down by putting ideas in our heads that corrupt our hearts somehow. When I was a child, every single thing could blow my mind, soaking it all up for fun, but now I only soak up wine. They say to play hard, you work hard, find balance in the sacrifice. And yet I don't know anybody's truly satisfied. You better believe in child to keep climbing, but the higher we climb, feels like we're both none the wiser. So I hope I learn to get over myself. Stop trying to be somebody else. So we can I need some substance in my life, something real, something that feels true. You better believe for you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody wants something from you, just want one. trying to be climbing, but the higher we climb feels like we're both none the wiser.
This next one is a golden oldie, I would say. And, yeah, it's the first time I've sung it in public since everything went down. All right, are you ready? You ready, Eric?
That you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Oh, it ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone. Sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah. You know how the time flies. Only yesterday was the time of our lives. We were born and raised in a summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over yet. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah, nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes their memories made. Who'd have known how bitter sweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. Nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you said. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead.
Coming up, Adele organises a special surprise.
I need every single person to be really bloody quiet, all right?
Everybody loves the things you do, from the way you talk to the way you move. Everybody here is watching you, 'cause you feel like home. You're like a dream come true. But if by chance you're here alone, can I have a moment before I go? 'Cause I've been by myself all night long, hoping you're someone I used to know. You look like a movie, you sound like a song. God, this reminds me of when we're young. Let me photograph you in this light, in case it is the last time that we might be exactly like we were before we realized we're a sign of getting old and made us restless. It was just like a movie, just like a song. I was so scared to face my fears. Nobody told me that you'd be here. And I swear you moved overseas, 'cause that's what you said when you left. Just like a song.
When we were young, when we were young, when we were young, when we were young.
It's hard to admit that everything just takes me back to when you were there, to when you were there. Just like a song. My God, this reminds me of when we were young.
Yeah.
like a movie. It was just like a song when we were young.
Thank you very much. You know, this is the first time I've got perched like this because I can't sit in this mermaid dress. I feel like my whole campaign so far with my outfits is a bit Death Becomes Her. Sometimes I'm hell and sometimes I'm mad, you know? Anyway, this is the first time that my son has ever seen me perform. And I got really... And he dressed up for me. It was a... I'm not going to cry. Anyway, it's too soon to cry and I don't want anyone to come fix me face. But it's the absolute honour of my life, baby, to have you here tonight. And you look so beautiful and so handsome and smart.
So many women, Adele, are going to be liberated, I think, by listening to you, because so many women specifically choose to stay on mm-hmm. in relationships when they know it's not working and yeah. they do it for the kids. And I've read where you said you weren't miserable, mm-hmm. but you also knew you weren't happy.
Yeah.
And so you wanted to bring a happy version of yourself mm-hmm. to your son.
Yes.
Which I think is about the best gift anybody can give to their children.
I think it's the same as, you know, the same drive as staying in a relationship, even though you're not happy and you do it for the kids. I think it's as loving as doing that for the kids by leaving and you know, finding your own happiness so that they really know who you are. But I'm still not fully over it of me choosing to dismantle my child's life for my own mm-hmm. makes me very uncomfortable.
You still feel guilt?
I don't feel guilt. I just feel somewhat selfish sometimes. But like I know that I'm nearing my goal of like finding my happiness, like, you know, and it's mm-hmm. been no one ever makes me do anything I don't want. And it was just like, but I was really ignoring myself
yeah.
for a long time, which was wild to me when I realized it. And I knew that as an adult, Angelo would be livid with me mm-hmm. for doing that. I knew that when he became an adult, that he'd be furious at me. And I didn't want that either. But it was hard work.
So this whole album is dedicated to him?
Yes. Yeah. And the whole album's not about him, it's about me. And I just wanted for him to hear me talking madly deeply about who I am and how I feel. Like, you know, and I don't know if I'd ever be able to have that conversation with him in real life. So therefore he can go and listen to it.
Well, everything on the album is certainly a starter for a great conversation. Mm. So, does Angelo know that you are Adele?
No, apart from the other day, he watched the Easy on Me video, like countdown to when it yeah. premiered, whatever. I didn't watch that. And he was like, there was like 150,000 people waiting and like blah, blah, blah. And he was like, you had all these likes. And then he read the comments and then he was like, people really like you. Like, so he's starting
to get it.
To get it a little bit, but not really.
Didn't you take him to a Taylor Swift concert and he was like...
He loved it.
I couldn't believe that all those people were in there?
Yeah, because he used to come to my stadium shows for my rehearsals and it would be empty. So he was like, so many people come to her shows. But I'd make him leave before they all arrived. It was so cute and so funny. He loved it, yeah.
He's never seen you perform live?
No. No, this will be his first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you want more children?
I thought I'm definitely open to it. I would like more children. It wouldn't be the end of the world if I don't mm-hmm. have them because I have Angelo. But yeah, I think so.
Every mother and father has a dream for their children. And even when you have a big accessed life as you do mm-hmm. and can give your children any dreams that they can imagine, yeah. actually, I think it's more challenging to raise children who are kind and have their own ambition
yeah.
when they have
absolutely
you. So what is the dream you hold for him?
Just to be a good person, mm-hmm. be a good and happy person. Mm-hmm. That's it. I don't expect anything of him. I don't care what his career is, as long as he's passionate about whatever it is that he does mm-hmm. and that he's happy.
Now, this is the big surprise, and I'm very, very excited. I hope we can pull it off. So, tonight, we've arranged... a bit nervous in case it doesn't go well. It's also a bit ironic that I'm letting this happen to both of you. We've arranged a surprise for
for a lovely guy called Quentin, who reached out to a now fake show asking for some help. So, oh, I'm getting all nervous. Quentin has been with his girlfriend Ashley for 7 years. 7 years is like normally like, you know, you either say yes or you say no to like life together. 7 year itch. She's a chef, she's a vegan chef, she's always at work. But tonight, Quentin told Ashley that they were having a date night. And so, we're going to make that date night really, really memorable. So now, earlier today, Ashley and Quentin were picked up in a car and they came to this park, to Griffith Park. And at the bottom of the hill down there, they've been having a beautiful picnic pretty much all day. Quentin told Ashley that he's planned a small surprise to celebrate the fact that she just got her first big catering job. Also, I love a surprise. Also love dress up. Right, so he blindfolded her. A bit kinky, but you know. And he's given her noise-cancelling headphones so that she can't hear what we've been doing up here, this concert tonight. And even though they're in the area, she has absolutely no idea where she is or where she's going. So I need every single person to be really bloody quiet, all right? Let's turn the lights down. If you make a noise, I'm going to kill you. Right, turn the lights down.
What are we doing, Quentin?
All right, listen.
Okay.
You take the blindfold off, okay?
When you squeeze my hand?
Yes.
Am I on grass? Oh, shoot. Quentin. Take it off. Take it off. Oh, my God.
Babe, look at me. 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 Look at me.
Oh, my God.
Look at me. Listen. First of
what
all...
What are you doing?
Listen. Listen. I want to say thank you. Okay?
What are you doing?
I want to thank you for being so patient with me.
Oh, Quentin Brunson.
Listen. Thank you for being patient with me.
You're crazy, man.
I am... extremely proud of you, and I mean, every day you blow my mind.
Oh my God.
There's absolutely nothing that you cannot do. And I just know that you're gonna be an amazing mother to our kids one day. And I love you.
This is real.
I love you, I love you, I love you, and I will continue to love you forever. Ashley. This is real. This is real.
Oh my God.
Ashley.
All right.
It's been
a
long
time. Thank God you didn't let me eat. I would have thrown up.
This has been a long time coming.
Oh my God. I've been your girlfriend for so long.
Hello, babe. Will, okay.
Oh my God.
Will you marry me, little Ashley?
Oh my, in real
life. In real life.
Yeah.
Yes?
Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
Hi, Quentin, you're right. Go sit front row. Go sit down and enjoy the show. Thank God you said yes, because I didn't know who I was going to have to sing this song to next. You or him. Oh, my God. Look at her. She's so in shock. Oh, that was lovely. A little cry. Okay, go. Right, here we go. This is for you too.
When the rain is blowing in your face, and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. When the evening shadows and the stars appear, and there is no one there to could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. I know you haven't made your mind up yet, but I would never do you wrong. In my mind where you belong. She's crying her eyes out. I'd go hungry, I'd go black and blue, and I'd go crawling down the avenue. No, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to make you feel my love.
Start dating again. I mean, you can't go on a dating app. No. Do you like take advice from friends or somebody says, oh, I know somebody? Let's go to the question everybody wants to know.
Oh.
One of the questions certainly is this whole weight thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you lost 100 pounds mm-hmm. in 2 years.
That, yeah.
Around that?
Around, 100 yeah.
pounds in 2 years. And then you said it wasn't even really about the weight. So
no.
What was it about?
It was about my anxiety mainly. I had the most terrifying anxiety attacks after I left my marriage. They'd paralyze me completely mm-hmm. and made me so confused because I wouldn't be able to have any control over my body. But I knew that I was aware of it all happening. It was like I was still very much there while my whole body was just like on another planet, it felt like, you know? And I've always worked out a bit, you know, a couple of times a week for my back. Not very hard, but, you know, because uh-huh. I've had a bad back since I was a teenager. And I started to notice, A, how much I trusted my trainer and his, like, presence mm-hmm. when I was feeling so lost, but also that I didn't have any anxiety when I was with him at the gym. So then I picked it up every day, and then I had nothing else to do. And I think it was just, it became my time. Me having a plan every day when I had no plans. I had no idea what each day was going to bring for me, but me knowing that, oh, okay, at 9 a.m., I'm going to go to the gym. Okay, great. Well, that gives me some discipline. Okay, 1 p.m., I'm going to go for a hike. You know, having these sort of pins in my day mm-hmm. helped me keep myself together.
So you
together.
Weren't even starting out trying to lose weight?
No, not at all. I wasn't bothered about that at all. But in that process of having, you know, lost all of that weight, I definitely really contributed towards me getting my mind right. You know,
it
and giving me the absolutely.
It sharpened everything.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Like, it gave me real purpose.
Interesting, because, you know, I've been through this a few times myself. And I remember the first time I dropped, you know, a lot of weight. I think it was like 67 pounds. People were really upset and had stuff to say. And actually, in many ways, felt like I had abandoned mm-hmm. them or something.
Yeah.
And lots of people are talking about your weight and yeah. all in your business about it.
Yeah.
I want to know, what has the experience of losing this been like for you, and also people's reaction to it?
I'm not shocked or even fazed by it because my body has been objectified my entire career. I'm either too big, I'm either too small, like, you know, I'm either hot or I'm either not, like, whatever. I never looked up to anyone because of their body. You know, I never admired anyone because they had the same hair colour as me or the same style as me or, you know, whatever. So,
or were the same weight as you?
Never. Never, ever, ever.
And when you were heavier, you were fine.
I was body positive then and I'm body positive now. But it's not my job to validate how people feel about their bodies. Ooh. And I feel bad that, you know, it's made anyone feel horrible about themselves. But that's not my job. And I can't. I'm trying to sort my own life out. You know, I can't add another worry and another thing to try and nail. I can't, like, you know, and...
I got that. I love that. Yeah. I love that.
And, you know, my weight might fluctuate. Now that I can't work out as much and I'm on set all day, you know, I'm eating. But I don't care if I put on weight. I don't care if I lose it again. Like, it's not about that. As long as, like, my muscle memory doesn't go for when I'm lifting my weights, which is, like, my favourite place to be.
Lifting weights?
I love it.
Okay.
What? I love it.
What's the highest weight you can press now?
Well, at the moment, my back's been bad. But last summer when I was at my peak of being able to, like, I feel like I could have been in the Olympics. I remember saying to my trainers all the time, I'm going to get Olympic gold medal next. I was like, you know, we were getting to, like, on a deadlift, we were getting up to, like, 160, 170. Yeah, I love it. But it started out at 10 pounds. It started at 10 pounds when I first started lifting.
I am... Wow.
Oh, no, I'm an athlete. I'm actually an athlete. Like, I'm not even boasting. Even the proportions of my body, I should have been an athlete. If only at school I hadn't discovered boys and someone had told me to go and do a bit more PE.
Wow. 160, wow.
Yeah, I love it. But I have to eat quite a lot of food to lift the weights I lift.
So you eat?
I eat. Oh,
what
yeah.
What do you want to eat?
I had Chinese last night.
Okay.
Yeah, we found the best McDonald's recently. It's piping hot every time. No, I do. I love it. I ain't got much of a sweet tooth, though.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rather a sandwich.
Deadlifting 160, this girl.
Yeah.
She's an athlete.
I'm also a very good boxer. I've got a left hook that could kill you.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a very good
boxer. I'd be scared. Another new song on the album is titled Hold On. The lyrics of this song are so brutally honest. It sounds like you were in the dark, dark, dark hours there. Yeah. I swear to God, you say, I am such a mess. The harder that I try, I regress. I am my own worst enemy. Right now, I truly hate being me. Every day feels like the road I'm on might just open up and swallow me whole. How do I feel so mighty small when I'm struggling to feel at all? Girl, you can write.
Oh, thank you.
You can write.
Thank you.
So what was going on there? What was happening? How did you keep the faith when you were at your lowest point? What were you holding on to?
Okay. My friends.
The question is, what were you holding on to?
My friends always would say, hold on, when I would feel like how I'm, you know, the lyrics in the verse. But it was just exhausting trying to like, keep going with it. It's a process, you know, the process of a divorce, the process of, you know, being a single parent, the process of not seeing your child every single day wasn't really a plan that I had when I became a mum. The process of arriving for yourself every single day, turning up for yourself every single day, and still running a home, running a business. Like, it's you know, so many people know what I'm talking about, and it can, you know, I feel like that as well. I juggle those things as well. And it just, I felt like not doing it anymore. And also trying to, like, move forward, like, but, like, with intention, not just trying to get out of it for no reason. Man, my feet hurt walking through all of that concrete. You know, I never questioned whether I'd made a bad decision. I never ever did, which I'm very grateful for, that I never asked myself those questions. But it was just, like, maybe it would have been better had I just kept my mouth shut, you know, and carried on. You know, just in terms of hurting two people that I love the most in the world, you know?
Love will soon come. Just hope. Ooh, love.
again. Have I not learned anything? I don't want to live in chaos. It's like a ride that I want to get off. It's hard to hold on to who I am when I'm stumbling in the dark for a hand. I am so tired of battling with myself with no chance to eat. Oh, let time be patient. Sometimes loneliness is the only reason.
Thank you.
Coming up next.
With all the therapy you've done, you know that, certainly at this stage, that you end up, until you can get it right, this is what I say to all my girls in school, that whatever the biggest wound of your life is mm-hmm. from your parents, that you end up choosing relationships mm-hmm. to try to heal those wounds.
Yeah.
So what do you think the deep wound from the past, mm-hmm. from you as a little girl growing up, you're trying to heal as you reach for your relationships as an adult woman?
My dad's absolute lack of presence and effort with me. But, you know, as I got older, I definitely understood that it was the alcohol. It wasn't a choice that he was necessarily making in himself that he didn't want to
step up for me. But
when you're little, you don't know, especially when he's like, I'm drinking juice.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, well, I'll drink juice. Like, you know, you don't know the sort of effects of it. But yeah, like when someone that you love so much and the more that you feel like they don't love you, you love them even more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was definitely always trying to fill that void, but at the same time I would expect it to hurt at some point, so I would hurt them first, you know, not in a malicious way. It wasn't malicious. It was just like I had absolutely zero expectations of anybody because I learned not to.
Because you've been let down so many times.
Yeah, so by having, you know, zero expectations, I wouldn't arrive for them either, like, you know, and I would feed off this energy. So they'd be like, well, why would I like make go beyond and make that effort with you when A, you don't seem to want me to
mm-hmm.
and B, you're not doing it, like, mm-hmm. you know. So it was definitely that. And then during the, you know, the sort of the last 2-3 years of my life, my dad got really sick. And it was interesting that happened during just after having left my marriage, when I'd already made the conscious decision to get to know myself and figure some things out. And not that long ago, it was back in April when my dad died and we had our peace together.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that huge gaping hole fill, like, you
really?
Know, just we forgave each other because, you know, I said hurtful things. I did nothing as bad as what he did, though, to be honest with you. Like, you know, if you add it all up throughout my whole life. But I definitely, like, snapped in the press and stuff like that at him, which definitely hurt his feelings, of course. But we found our peace together and then...
You played the album for him?
Played the album to on Zoom, yeah. Yeah.
Was that healing for both of you? What did you learn from that?
Well, when we met up and when I heard he was ill... I went to go and see him in Wales and I wanted to play him To Be Loved. My main goal in life is to be loved and love, you know, and I also wanted to play it to my dad being like, you're the reason I haven't done that yet. Because he definitely was the reason. He mm-hmm. was the reason I haven't fully accessed what it is to be like in a loving, loving relationship with somebody, like 360, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't, he was like, I've only ever heard Hometown Glory. So I'm like, well, that's the first song I ever wrote when I was like 16. And he was like, it's too painful. Like, you know,
he's never heard anything other than
never
Hometown.
He would switch it off and he never, ever played any of my other music, he said. So I forced him to listen and it's like, we both cry and stuff like that. And then, so that, him sort of really understanding my child wound through my song was amazing for me. And him, and again, I think he could listen to me sing it, but not say it. Yeah, very similar like that. And then when I played in the album, it was just, by then he'd listened to all of 19, all of 21, all of 25, and my mum was helping to look after him towards the end as well. And his favourites were all of my favourites, you know, which I thought was amazing. And he wished that he'd done what I had been doing for myself, you know, like...
The journey.
He wished he'd done it, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was proud of me for doing it. So it was very, very healing. But when he died... It was like the wound closed up and I've been so open, you know.
Didn't your therapist at one point say you need to sit with the 7-year-old Adele? And when you did that, sat with the 7-year-old Adele, what did you find?
Very sad little girl.
Mm.
No. You're trying to make me cry.
No, I'm not.
No, it was. She was sad, but also, you know, she was willing to get out and run.
Look at what she did. Look at what she did.
I said I weren't staying there. Yeah. I said that when I was little.
Look at what she did.
I was like, I'm not staying here. This is not what this life is. I've been the wrong place. I've been sent to the wrong place. I said I wasn't staying there, and I'm there.
Yeah, that's the thing, is to look back on who you were and what you've come through, and all of that is what allowed this to be sitting
and
in this chair right now.
And then you learn to appreciate all the things that you did have to go through.
Yeah.
Because it's a part of it. You might not have gotten to where you are, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've got many more mountains to climb that will come my way, and I'm sure I'll have another little, like, you know, like swerve out of the way for something and stuff like that. But I feel like I'll get better at it every time comes up.
Reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out and I'll leave your bed. See how I'll leave with every piece of you. Don't underestimate the things that I will do. There is a fire starting in my heart. Reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me the dark.
It really kicks in when a fast song comes on with me. You better dance while you can.
So how do you start dating again? I mean, you can't go on a dating app.
No.
Do you, like, take advice from friends or somebody says, oh, I know somebody? Like, how did you meet Rich Paul?
I met him at a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the dance floor. And I met him, and then a couple of years later, we went out for dinner, which he says was a business meeting. I'm like, a business meeting about what? We weren't even having a meeting about business. And then it was just the first time we'd hung out only on our own and not with other friends and stuff like that. So that was a very natural way. I think that's how people would normally meet each other, is, mm-hmm, like in real life.
Mm-hmm. What was it about him that drew you to him? I mean, we all know he's the super agent. And
yeah, he's just hilarious.
He's also hilarious?
Oh, he's so funny.
Okay.
No, he's hilarious, yeah. Okay. And very smart. You know, he's very, very smart. It's quite incredible watching him do what he does. And just the easiness of it. It's been very smooth.
He's making it easy on you.
He's making it easy on me. I'm blushing. He's right up there.
Okay. So this relationship with Super Agent Rich Paul, I can't say his name without saying Super Agent Rich Paul. This relationship is the first time you've actually
loved myself and been open to loving and being loved by someone else, yeah.
So Rich is getting a different Adele than everybody else has gotten.
Yeah. But by arriving and turning up, you know, maybe I'm getting a different version of him and all. Who knows? It's just it's just timing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just timing. But it'd be interesting to see what my reaction is like in general to anything that hurts me now that I feel so secure in myself. And I'm talking outside of romance as well. Like, I'm just talking about any scenario.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how close I let it come to me.
So, do you think you'll be able to write from a happy space?
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the music will change.
Like love is, like, you know, the last song on the album.
Love is a game.
Yeah, it's about love.
Here are some of the lyrics. Love is a game for fools to play, and I ain't fooling. What a cruel thing to self-inflict that pain. And I wanted to know, are you, Adele, getting better at this game of love?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't treat it like a game anymore. You know, that thing of, like, you're going to hurt me, so I'm going to hurt, mm-hmm, you first. I'm not like that anymore. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I think is so valuable in knowing how to move forward in your life is having clarity on what it is you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And when you...
And what you like.
Yes, and what you like, but mostly knowing in the spirit, mm-hmm, and soul of yourself, what is it you really want? Because, mm-hmm, that's how you start to drawing that to yourself.
Yeah.
And do you know what that is, ultimately? What do you really want?
Peace of mind.
Just peace of mind.
Just peace of mind.
Okay.
And stability. But I don't have to expect someone else to give me stability. I can also be stable for myself, be a solid house that doesn't blow over in a storm.
Mm-hmm. Well, the best thing you said here in this interview, as far as I'm concerned, is that now you're in a relationship where, for the first time, your love for yourself comes first.
Yeah.
And all great things come after that.
Yeah.
I know that.
A quote I heard as well while on my journey was, if you're not feeling everything, you're missing everything. That sort of gave me permission,
mm-hmm,
to really do that during the process, you know, and not be upset.
This has been great. Thanks for coming to the Rose Garden.
Well, I can't believe we just had a chat.
We had
it's
a little
wild.
Chat. Thanks for letting me come to the concert.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
It's going to be so
great. I hope
you
like it,
And I wish you all the things your heart desires.
Oh, thanks. Me too.
That's my prayer for you.
Thank you.
All the things your heart desires. And still, good music from a happy space. Okay?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Expectations of my love are impossible. Surely you know that I'm not easy to hold. It's so sad how incapable of learning to grow I am. My heart speaks in puzzle and codes.
I've been trying my whole life to solve. God only knows how I've cried. I can't take another defeat. Ain't next time would be the ending of me. Now that I see the love is a game for fools to play, and I am fooling. What a cruel thing to self-inflict that pain.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Is a game for fools to play, and I am fooling the game. What a cruel thing to self-inflict that pain. Love, man, love can keep me satisfied.
Satisfied, satisfied.
I can't keep up.
you.
I'm addicted.